Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Today with me on the very last day of February.
Is it the 100th episode today?
No.
Okay.
We got another couple of months.
We'll celebrate when that one is out, because that deserves a big party. We'll get a cake.
Have we not done 100 episodes yet?
No.
Well, we'll have to have one candle, because when it starts getting to 100 candles, that is a fucking bonfire on a cake.
Let's have a big Roman candle. You know what I mean? Shoot it up into the air.
It is weird that the older and more frail the people get, the bigger, the more dangerous fire we take them on their birthday. You know?
Yeah, it's a sign of respect, though, because it's symbolic to their life flame that burns so bright and has burned so bright for so long. If you looked inside their soul at their life flame, it would be burning as bright as 100 candles.
Yeah, and they're likely to fucking go up like a Viking funeral pyre.
First of all, if they've made it to 100, Lewis, do you not think they've learned to avoid the perils of fire at this point? They've avoided all the shit that kills people normally.
That's how it works. I think it's like a graph, right, where you get better and better at avoiding fire until you're about, I don't know, about dad age, and then you're like at peak avoiding fire age. And then as you start getting older, you start getting more reckless, falling off ladders, you know, accidentally setting fires too big, you know, plugging things in the wrong sockets. Do you know what I mean? Like, you start, like, screwing out the wrong things, sticking things in the wall.
Most old people kind of look like Deadpool under the mask, though. maybe they haven't been so good at avoiding fire because most of them look like old, wrinkly burns victims. Yeah,
I have noticed that in my 20s, I still felt the exact same as I did in my, late teens. There was very little difference. 30s. I just looked slightly older than I did in my 20s, but I still felt pretty much the same. But once I got into my 40s, I started to notice that whilst the outer shell was only withering very slightly compared to my 30s, the inner shell was really starting to suffer.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that there are now increasing number of things that are just very slightly beginning to break down. Like, I can't eat a lot of cheese anymore.
Right.
And that was one of my favorite things, was eating loads of cheese. And
I used to sit down when I was a young man, get a knife and fork and just tuck into
just
that
wheel of cheese.
Now
I can't eat that cheese. Can't do it.
I used to be able to get through at least half a wheel of cheese on a single sitting.
Yeah,
but
no
now
problem.
I can barely manage a quarter.
It's quite upsetting for a big cheese fan. Can't eat brie anymore. Can't eat it.
Yeah.
Can't eat brie. Disagrees with me. And I'm starting to get, I know that in another 20 years, there'll be like a huge long list of shit I've got to remember. And I think it's a damn shame.
Everyone's got shit that they can't eat. But I think some people just eat it anyway and don't associate it with the fact that it's making them fart or making them like have a sore tummy. You know, people like, you know, I get a sore belly every week, and I also eat a fucking double cheese super pepperoni meat feast pizza on the night every Friday. It's kind of related, though. You know, it can't be
it's true.
People don't link the correlation.
Well, nobody wants to accept that their favorite thing could be causing them a tremendous amount of harm and pain, though. So, like, you know, that's why they'll dig really deep and look for anything else that might be causing. Oh, was it a waxing moon last Tuesday? Oh, that must be why I had bad heartburn.
Goddamn moon.
The phase of the moon, it always gets me. I don't know what's going on with my gun.
Was it because I was putting kerosene on my life flame?
I was dousing my life flame with so much kerosene. Of course, I had to drink it.
Gave me real heartburn.
Yeah.
That's what it gives you.
God damn. Yeah.
So I want to talk about streaming. Okay. All because right. I occasionally
can we do
some...
like a jingle and a intro segment to it?
Sure.
Now we're going to talk about streaming.
Talk about our daily job.
Okay.
All right.
So this isn't about my stream, which is a whole nother thing. But I was looking at the browse part of Twitch where you just go around and look.
Sure.
And I was clicking on various games and things, and you'll see something with like 8K viewers, and you click on it, and there's like one channel with 7,500 viewers and a couple with like 10 and 20 and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching this stream today, which seemed to be a stream where a streamer watches another person's stream, like a rerun of it, and reacts to it. So, you know, the whole react thing that there's been for a long time now.
Uh-huh.
Now there's people live reacting to other people's streams, like reruns of their streams. Dude had 7,500 viewers. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, why is this getting so many views? Why is this guy popular? Because I couldn't even see. He didn't say much. He'd be watching the stream silently, and then he'd just go, ha ha, woo, like that, occasionally. And he'd go, this
good
is what I'm talking
though.
About, guys.
Good react.
And like, that was it. Yeah. And I thought, you could achieve the same thing. You know those little... There's little boxes where you push a button and it makes like an explosion noise or a fart noise or like that weird laugh that Lewis was doing. You could get one of those and just have it sat next to someone else's stream, like a picture within picture, and someone just occasionally pushes a button on that box and it goes burp like that. And you'd get the same thing. Would it get 7K viewers? I think it would.
Yeah, that guy that had 7K viewers, is that his, like, is that all he streams all the time? Or was this just him like, for
I have
10
no
minutes,
idea.
The 10 minutes that you happened to watch him stream,
I
that's what he was doing.
I couldn't tell who the streamer was. I had no idea.
I think there should be like mass bannings on YouTube and Twitch. Like if you're like doing that, you should get banned. I don't think you should be allowed to steal someone else's content.
I'm sure. I mean, he might, but he knows banned. The guy. He knows.
Let's
the
tidy
guy.
Up Twitch and YouTube. Honestly, like, okay, so I tell you what happened yesterday. I got sent an email by YouTube, and it said, "Dear creator, we at YouTube don't give a shit about anything as usual, blah, blah, blah. But we've introduced a thing called the copyright match tool.
Right.
Frustrated by people re-uploading your content? Well, now, in 2019, you can simply click 1,000 buttons and remove that one video." So I went in and I was like, I wonder if there's any matches on any of my videos. And it's like 100,000 videos.
Right.
Okay. Of Yogscast re-uploads. So it's like, you know, basic, most of them is like the songs, and it's like people doing top 10 Minecraft songs. And one of them has like 30 million views. Okay.
Man.
And so it was like, would you like to submit a takedown request and give this channel a copyright strike? And I was like, fucking hell yeah, I would. And I was like, bam, bam, bam. And I did it to every YouTube video that had over 10,000 views. Okay.
Right.
That was using our copyright stuff. And I fucking copyright strike. Well, I hopefully copyright striked all of them.
Right.
And I felt like an absolute asshole. But so many of them were like Russians or like bots or like Arabic or like just literally straight re-uploads, all re-uploads with the quality worse. And I was like, there were a couple that were like slightly transformative. And I left those, like a 10-hour remix or whatever. I don't know, or like a like sped up, like stuff like this. Like I left a few of them, but like most of the time, it felt like I was doing my bit to like clean up the shit that's out there.
You're like the YouTube sheriff, is what you're saying.
And I hope that all of those channels get banned from copyright strikes. And I hope that all of their content gets deleted off the internet. Let's tidy up the internet. It's like a trash bin. It's like it's not a trash can. It's the opposite. It's just trash lying around on the floor. And I'm putting it in a trash can and then burning that fucking trash can.
Nice.
That's what I would want to happen.
Do you guys think, I listened to this debate the other day on TV. I think part of the problem with the internet, and that one of its strengths, but it's also a big problem, is the fact that it's anonymous. Think about the difference it would make if the internet was not anonymous.
That's always been the big problem.
But just imagine it. If someone leaves a YouTube comment or says something horrible on Twitter, you actually know who it was. They actually have to step forward like a fucking adult and say what they mean and put their name to it, not just Poop Feast 370.
But the problem we have at the moment, though, is that it's not that it's anonymous. It's that we're not deleting like any of the shit, because it's like freedom of expression and freedom of speech is all tied to that. It's like we give a value to anyone's contribution, right? And fair enough, sometimes that's necessary to have like two sides of each argument. But if one side is just provably wrong, like on Wikipedia, there was a guy, a Wikipedian, who did like a bunch of an AMA this week, which was really interesting. He looked exactly like you'd think a guy who'd done a million edits on Wikipedia.
Oh, I saw that guy. Yeah, he did an interview. Like. Yeah.
And he was really, he spoke in a way that used incredibly long words that I didn't understand, in the manner that only someone who either is, I am very smart, or actually are like a Wikipedian might use.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good MA. He talked about it. But he talked about edit walls and how a lot of people like will revert his changes when he's done them. And he's like, I don't care. Like, do you know what I mean? He's kind of over it. But I can see how that happens when you get two people with competing opinions, like arguing. Like, on the same time with YouTube, like, yeah, shit. Like, it's great to have all these anonymous fucking comments, but like, some of them are just trash. Like, fucking delete, help to get rid of this shit. But that's the thing, YouTube and a lot of these places don't remove stuff. Like, oh, there was a big controversy this week, which I don't really want to talk about because it really made me angry. But
someone used your cup, your special cup, in the office.
No.
Somebody slept in your bed.
It's like how on YouTube there's like these people who are basically I was following this woman saw some retweets of this woman on Twitter, and she basically films her kids and then monetizes them on YouTube. And I get it, right? You've got kids, you want to make them do work. It's done since the dawn of time. Everyone, you know, back in the day, used to have a lot of kids to get to work the farm, okay?
This represents...
Get the harvest, okay?
An acceptable thing to do with children.
The equivalent of having a lot of kids and getting them working on the farm is having a lot of kids and filming them and putting that on YouTube so other people can watch your kids and, I don't know, vicariously enjoy your kids.
I mean...
I know what your story is about. This is the people getting banned because weirdos were making comments in the kid videos.
It's a two-sided thing, though, because, it sucks that these people are doing that in the first place, but, like... Who the fuck is watching this shit? Like, what?
I'll
why
tell you
are you
who.
Watching
little
that?
Little kids.
Get your
That's
fucking
who watches
kids
it.
Off of that and get them outside doing some decent shit and not watching, living vicariously through some fucking make-believe world that some weird parent has created for their kid on YouTube. Like, that's
stupid.
So let
me ask you a question then, Sips. You never let your kids watch YouTube?
They watch, like, specific stuff on YouTube. I would not let them watch, like, some other kid doing shit on YouTube. Like opening stuff or like, lifestyle type stuff. Like, it's creepy and fucking weird.
They fucking love it. How is it different from a TV show? That's what I don't understand. How is it different? Why is it different that it's someone has made this themselves rather than the BBC? Because there was a show that my kids used to watch on CBBC where it's a little kid and it's like a half-hour show, a 20-minute show, and they follow them throughout their day. They always seem to be from Scotland. It might have been a Scottish show. This is my grandpa, Stefan. He works at the docks, loading fish into big boxes. Hello, grandpa.
Oh, hello there, wee Georgie. Are you going to help me load the fish today? You know, that was pretty much it for half an hour.
Yeah.
Now, the kids are living vicariously through that little kid's life. They're meeting his parents, seeing him at school with his mates and stuff. How is it different if you take that and just have someone make it themselves on YouTube? I don't see that much of a difference.
Well, I think here's the deal, right? Like, there's massive rules around getting kids and using them in making in Hollywood and in TV shows and publishing. And the quality of it has to be a certain standard. And it has to be checked that it's not creepy abusive. And the problem is on YouTube is that there's people deliberately having another kid so that they can monetize it for the next 5 years.
Right.
And they also are like... filming these kids and putting like these kids doing their they're like Timmy loves gymnastics, Timmy goes to gymnastics and does the splits, like those videos are very dodgy, read like creepy stuff on the internet and cause huge problems, and also these kids are gonna have to grow up like and be 12 years old in school,
and they I suppose they haven't had a say in it either, right?
And they're completely they don't have a say in any of it. It's just I don't think any you know, you're not really posting parents' pictures of your kids on the internet, you know, regularly.
Only on private,
like, especially
stuff, yeah,
in
it.
Embarrassing situations, you know.
But I do think those are extreme examples, and I do hope
I don't think they are extreme examples. I think this is happening as an absolute plague on YouTube and on places where it's unregulated. It's the wild west of the internet still. And, you know, YouTube used to have this attitude of you can't have an account if you're 13. Or under, if you're under 13, and you should be even on there. But YouTube love it. They actually
it makes a
support
lot.
It.
But it's all kids
it.
Watching it. That's the thing. It's
and
little
it's,
kids
and
watching
I agree,
it.
I get there's a legitimate, like, big audience of creative kids who are making cool content, like, and kids who want to watch it too. I understand who's watching it and stuff, and I'm sure a lot of it is legit, but it is a breeding ground for massive problems.
I agree, but I will also
really,
say in
really
defense of it,
me.
Some of the stuff I've watched it with my kids, and it's little kids streaming and playing games, and they can relate to them because they're like, they say the same stuff that they hear at school. So my kids have picked up a whole bunch of catchphrases and stuff that they've got from these other kids that they watch. Now, I would rather that they were watching other kids than watching some fucking grown-up streaming, to be honest with you. I find it weirder that a little kid connects with some dude in his 20s than it is with a 10-year-old watching a 10-year-old play games. That, to me, is far more normal than having them watch someone who's three times their age and still trying to act like them. That's what really fucking weirds me out. Because I'm like, fucking swear, you big puss. You're fucking 30. You just fell off that cliff. Say, fuck me, this game fucking sucks. But they can't. So they just go, oh, fiddlesticks. And I'm like, grow a pair of balls and start streaming for adults, mate. Leave the kids streaming
nuggets.
To the kids. Exactly. Oh, peaches! You know, it's literally like that.
That's what I was told. Yeah. Oh, you had to say like, oh, and then a food stuff like, oh, Burger King.
But isn't it
oh,
weird?
Oh, Triple Whopper.
That we're weirded out by kids being on YouTube. But it's. I mean, yes. This is where the problem comes in. There are some fucking pedos out there that want to watch kids on the internet. But there are always going to be kids in the media for these fucking freaks to watch. How do you stop that unless you remove all children from all forms of media? I think it's impossible. You gotta just try and do your best to police it. Yes, there are some fucking weirdos out there, but Jesus Christ, we can't live our lives. We can't let our lives be ruled by the weirdos.
I think there's other problems attached to it, though. Like, you see, like, I don't know, just like, just a picture of this kid, like, who's like 4 years old and like wearing makeup and stuff and putting a dress on, and his mum's like, I'm supporting this, and I'm like, yeah, good for you for supporting and stuff. But like, you know, does this kid like can he really give consent at like that age to have this stuff permanently on the internet now, like forever?
I don't like it when it's the parents manipulating the kids. I fucking hate that. Like those
or
parents who prank
the kids.
Their kids and all that kind of shit.
Yeah,
that's awful.
But you're kind of manipulating your kids just by having them on there in the first place, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As
it's
much
tricky.
As they would want to do it or think that they want to do that. Exposing yourself out to the masses like that is something that you like need to think about before you do it, and you have to come equipped to be able to deal with, like you said, all these fucking people who leave shitty comments and anonymous like people who are going to troll you on the internet and stuff like that. Like when you're
tricky.
An adult and you've been around that for a while or whatever, you can pretty much cope with it, I guess. Like if you're able to, but like as a kid,
I think ban them. Just ban all animals. Ban everything. Like, just let's get some bans out there. Let's tidy the internet up, guys.
Oh my god!
Let's just ban all these people who are re-fucking uploading. Ban all the people who are reacting to shit. Ban all the just not even three strikes. Like just look, don't do it. Ban. Like you're gone. Delete everything they've done ever. I don't care. Well, no one's gonna miss it. There's so much fucking shit already. They can make a new channel and start again, and then get banned again. Right? Let's just fucking ban them. No strikes. None of this shit. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I didn't need to. I might do it again. They do it again. Like fucking just ban them. We don't need them. We
don't
need
to ban them though. Leave it. Leave it open. Let people do what they want. The thing is if any of this stuff gets viewed in the first place, it's the fucking idiots watching its fault for
what caveat emptor, is that the rule you're applying here?
I'm saying
is if it's bad, so tough shit, you shouldn't have bought it. I mean, you know, just because you watched it, mate. No, it shouldn't be there.
That's it.
It shouldn't
you
be
keep
there.
Watching it as well. It's not like you accidentally watched it. You're an avid repeat viewer of garbage and you're supporting it and it's your fault.
But maybe, Sips, if we take the garbage away, they won't watch garbage. they'll watch something good.
It'll always come back, though. It'll keep coming back because there's an appetite for it. There's demand for it, and people know it. So it'll keep coming back. Just removing it's not the solution.
But that's why we're not removing it. We're banning it,
I like watching crap as much as the next guy. I like watching crappy TV and stuff, and I don't want to ban everything, but I think we need to get rid of exploitation and like stuff which breeds bad stuff. Like, I think if you're monetizing your kids and that's like how your life is, then that changes the parents' dynamic with their kids, and it shouldn't be allowed. It just shouldn't be allowed.
I think you know what you were saying about the fact that if you did this on TV, there are regulations. But it is weird that we basically allow YouTube to police themselves. It's like when you have an industry, like say the oil industry, and the regulation over the oil industry comes from the oil industry. You know what I mean? It's like if you were to just say to them, you guys just regulate yourselves. That's what people have done with YouTube, basically. You're right. They basically said to YouTube, you guys handle this because we don't know. But when it comes to TV, oh, that's very heavily regulated. Advertising is very heavily regulated.
Oh, it is and
TV.
It isn't, though, right?
No, like, dude, yeah, trust
okay,
me.
Great,
trust
it's
me.
Regulated, but there's still fucking advertising, fucking gambling and bingo and alcohol and everything on TV.
You are wrong, because I'll tell you specifically that when I worked for gambling stuff, if you mention age... Like, if you say, hey, kids, let's gamble, you are in massive trouble. Huge fine, big, big problem. If you said that on YouTube, no fucking problem. Who's watching? And we've seen what happens when you have people saying, hey, kids, go onto this website and gamble. And it's only because these guys were huge that there was any comeuppance. And I'm not even sure it's changed much. But you cannot mention gambling. You cannot mention winning. You cannot mention anything positive in relation to it. And it has to be, it's very specific. The shows you can advertise on, it's very specific. The time and the channels. So, for instance, I'm not going to be watching a YouTube video. I mean, I'm not going to be watching CBeebies or the ITV equivalent or any of those channels, and there's going to be a fucking advert for Betfair in the middle of it. That's not going to happen. But I could easily be watching a YouTube video, and there's a fucking advert for that on there. No problem, I assume, because who's regulating it?
I'm not saying that there's no regulations. I realize that it is regulated, but I'm still saying that, like, you know, we view TV, like terrestrial or digital TV, with broadcasters and stuff as like safer than YouTube, just because it's been around longer. But there's still lots of shit that goes on TV that is probably just as bad, but we just don't...
You're probably right.
We don't notice it as much because
I do disagree, but I understand what you're saying. There is stuff on TV that's bad, but it is far more heavily regulated than you
it
think.
It is, yeah, but it's still, like, still the messages get through. They're just a little bit more convoluted or better disguised or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, on YouTube, yeah, you could just be like, hey, kids, come and gamble. Spend all your money on gambling, kids. Like, yeah, there's no regulation for that. But, like...
I mean, I do think that if you see a TV show where that happens, where there's something, it's in the public eye. The MPs and stuff and the papers will pick up on it. But these kind of things, like Lewis was saying about it being the Wild West, a lot of stuff that happens on YouTube, only people who really follow that and are on the internet a lot hear these fucking stories. It all slips under the radar of the mainstream. And I think the weird thing is that means that people just don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, the Daily Mail runs a column every day about, like, a kid who plays Fortnite and has to be fed meatloaf through an IV by his mom
story.
To keep him alive and stuff. I know, but they keep fucking running it all the time anyway. It doesn't stop them.
These guys will always run the same thing. Video games are bad and make people violent. How many fucking times have you seen that story crop up over the last... As long as video games have been around, it's always been... Violent video games, whoa, like, this is what's causing these problems. And some fucking Yahoo in a position of authority will say, I think the problem with these games is these violent video games. And all these morons who have no idea what they're talking about come spilling out of the fucking woodwork, running their mouths and saying, yeah, it's those fucking violent video games, shut them down. And some MP will go, we've got to do something. Something must be done. And they'll try and do something. Always fucking happens. But that's not because they know what they're talking about or it's a real issue. It's because... It's exactly what I'm saying. They have no fucking idea. So as soon as it pops up above the radar, some guy does a mass shooting and says, I got my ideas from Fortnite. Even if he's full of shit, unless he built a special ramp very quickly up over the heads of his victims and then shot down at them from a great height with the goop gun or whatever. No, he didn't get it from Fortnite. He's fucking crazy. So I think the idea that video games are to blame is so ridiculous, but you'll get people will pick up on it because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
You know what's crazy? You solved a mystery. I've been investigating a murder for about 2 years now that involved goop, and we couldn't figure out how this guy got the jump on his victim. But he built a ramp.
He built up.
That's it.
There you go.
Hallelujah. A cold case is solved.
Looks like we got another case of the Fortnite killer, Chief.
There's Dorito crumbs and Mountain Dew all over this place.
Lukowski, I want you to find this bastard. The mayor's going to have my ass in a sling.
The mayor always has their ass in a sling. The mayor needs to fucking take a chill pill. They're trying their best. Also, what's it with the asses in these fucking TV shows? It's always asses and slings.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Does it mean like he's going to kick his ass so hard he's going to have it in a sling like you would a broken arm? Or does it mean
like
something else? Like your ass has been battered so badly you have to have a fucking sling to support your ass. It's, oh,
yeah.
My butt got... The mayor hit it so hard I have to have a special device on it at all times.
That's what was so great about The Wire. Like, it broke all, like, the conventional norms as well, right?
Because
Carchetti's ass is never in a sling.
He can't put his ass in a sling. He actually relies
He was too busy having a piss fit. That's how they would describe it in The Wire.
Hey, Chief, there's no evidence because surely... Around the body, there would have been loads of guns and ammo and just drops everywhere, but it's all gone. The killer must have taken it with him.
But he left behind some lesser weaponry.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Fucking.
I'm sure your kids are like this too, Flax. My son is like, when I grow up, I want to be a YouTuber.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And you're my eldest in particular. Just don't. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Like, my eldest, literally said to me the other day, like, she's nearly 10. She said to me, when can I have my own YouTube channel? And I said, you have to be 18. I lied. I said, you have to be 18 to have a YouTube channel. She was like, oh, and that'll buy me a few years. And then she'll finally be old enough to look it up, right?
Oh.
Yeah, she's just like, oh,
that's how easy it is.
Yeah. She's like, my dad would lie to me.
A lot of parents want to do what their kids say, though, and they're like, let's make one now and do it together. And I get that. That's probably okay.
She wants to do that. She wants us to record stuff. But I'm like, no, I'm not putting you on the internet. When you're old enough, maybe just about to deal emotionally with the horror of being on the internet, then maybe.
Yeah, it is horrible.
Let me just reverse that. Because these last couple of weeks, since we did the episode where we asked people to send us pictures of where they listen to the podcast, I've had, and I'm sure you guys have seen the same thing, I had to set up a special channel on my TweetDeck to see all the pictures, because I was losing them, because I've got my notifications up and that's just like every like and all that shit, so it blurs out all the actual content, you know what I mean? So yeah. Then I've got one that's filtered by Triforce. We've had so much stuff. Hundreds of pictures.
Yeah,
same.
I love
where
those
they are.
Pictures. Yeah,
it's amazing. People on the subway, buses, trains, and a lot of people in the middle of fucking nowhere, and a lot of people with some jobs. No offense to those people, but they look boring as fuck, and I'm glad that we help you for 45 minutes to an hour.
I don't know if we do. We'd just be really angry today.
Man, some of those boring-looking jobs look kind of interesting, though.
Some
at
of
the same
them really
time.
Do,
like,
actually. That's
some
true.
Dude was in a dairy cooler. I can relate to that. I used to work in one. Like some guy was like listening to it in and amongst a bunch of like shelves with boxes on them. It looked like maybe like an Amazon warehouse or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think he was. Yeah, kinda there's cool a whole bunch. A lot of people driving. Be safe, people. I the idea of commuting. When I used to get a lift sometimes to work, the person that would give me a lift had done this commute for like so long and so many years that she didn't even look at the road anymore. Like, she was rolling a cigarette or she's on her phone. She's just got like this weird peripheral thing. She knows the traffic's going to be 5 miles an hour. She's just never looking at the road. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And I know it can seem just like the habit of getting up in the morning, walking downstairs and making a cup of tea. Just be careful. The roads are super dangerous, especially in America.
Man.
That's all. I just wanted people to be safe.
Anytime somebody mentions the word commute, like, you know, you get those words that just always make you remember one specific thing. Yeah, like a trigger word.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody says commute, I immediately picture Matt Damon and what's his face? Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting. You know, when he used to pick them up in the morning for their like construction job or whatever, and their car was cold as fuck and they're smoking in the car and stuff. Every time. Like, every time I think of commuting, I picture that scene. Wow. I don't know why. I don't even know why.
I think of, I think it's from Pret. It might be Pret and Manger, but I used to commute to Docklands from Twickenham, and it took me about an hour and a half. And every morning, I'd get off the train, and I'd go to this Pret, and I'd get one of these croissants that have cheese and a tomato in the middle, like a little slice of tomato.
Yeah.
And that was what I had for breakfast, because I'd eat that on the walk. The last bit was like a 20-minute walk. Every single day for like a year, I did that. So whenever anyone says commute, I immediately think of the baked goods area of Pret.
That's literally the thing that pops into my head. That's such a long commute, too. Like, so what's that, total miserable. 2 hours every day?
No, 3 hours either way. Like, it was an hour and a half each way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where did you work? Was it worth it?
No, that was the Psychic Detective TV show that I did.
I don't think anyone who commutes that far ever really thinks it's... When they finally quit it, they're like, oh, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, no. It's one of those things where look
back... Sometimes you just have to at the time.
The only time I've ever commuted that far in my life is to go to school. Like, and like, I had to go to school, I guess. But like,
well, I mean, I had to. It was a job. Once I took the job. I mean, that's the thing with TV jobs is you think this is going to lead to something. 99% of people that work in TV are going to work in it and never achieve anything and just keep grinding and keep thinking, this will be the one, this will be the one. You want to work in TV because it's exciting and you think that's where the money is and maybe I'll be able to get a cool job someday and you just keep hoping.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does happen. It does genuinely happen. There were people I worked with there who are now doing really cool things and are working for really cool companies. So you just need the experience and to do enough work, you'll meet enough people because it's, you know, so much nepotism and I know this guy and oh, I know a guy and it's like that. That you'll do all these shitty jobs, but TV pays horribly. It's all super pyramidy. The people at the top make a fortune. Everybody else makes fuck all. The hours are unbelievable, and you will go through all kinds of miserable shit. It's horrible. Sure. Do not work in TV.
Sounds like working at the Yogscast.
So,
No.
So let's go back. Last weekend, I went to a wedding. I went to Martin Littlewood's wedding.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. How did that go? I mean, I didn't get an invite. Did you get an invite, Tyrion?
No, but I think I've met Martin twice.
Same, but still, I mean, it would cost you nothing to just invite somebody. Like, probably not going to go. You might as well just invite them anyway. Like,
yeah, what a great mantra.
But anyway, sure.
If that's how you end up with like these your parents' house getting trashed. Yeah. So it was actually super, super nice too. Had to get the old Southern Railways train.
Right.
Which was always
a
joy.
Was it a sleeper?
It wasn't a sleeper. No, okay. There wasn't any like Scottish announcer or anything, thank God.
Right.
Just the regular old Southern Railways. Mm-hmm. Just kind of crappy.
A little tap reference for last week.
Yeah, they that was weird. So it was all lovely and emotional and everyone's touching their life flames together. Oof. And telling everyone about, I don't know, like, I guess it's, I've been to quite a lot of weddings and the vows are very fixed and they're very standardized, okay? But I guess they came about before divorces, right?
Yeah, because I know they did, yeah.
Because some of the vows are like, they're just grammatically wrong in a sense. Like, they're like, you know, and do you pledge to be forever until you die? And they're like, yes. And then I was like, in my head, I was like, except if there's a divorce. And I'm sure Martin and Aunt are going to get a divorce because they're a great couple. But most people don't, but a lot of people do. Do you know what I mean? Just like, just to acknowledge, just so there wasn't such a cognitive dissonance in my head when that happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's sometimes something, someone says something to you and it just like makes you go like, that's... It's kind of, it just put me off, I guess, a little bit.
So you want the vows to be, do you so-and-so take you so-and-so to be a couple for as long as you can both be arsed with it, and then if the worst happens, let's just be civil about it and not be dicks.
Not try and stay together for the sake of it. Like, you know, even though we made this promise, but we hate each other and therefore we're going to ruin our kids and everything. Oh,
yeah.
It's been shown better off that if the parents are hating each other. They should just get a divorce and not try and stay together for the kids, you know. But I think that some of the marriage vows and stuff are just a bit dated, and like Kat needs to be caught up, because I think you're selling it wrong.
You know? You can write your own, right? You don't have to accept the default.
You can
ones.
Write your own. I did my own.
I think a lot of people are lazy though.
I did my own.
They didn't even learn.
I did my own. I just cut straight to the point as well. I just said, baby, this dick is yours and only yours. I pledge my dick to you.
I'm not saying Martin and Nettie are lazy. I'm saying it's more that they wanted to do it traditionally, I think. And that therefore everything is very traditional in the wedding sets. They have like the cutting the cake and the first dance,
like they
and all
call
stuff.
It
and it's
the
all,
fucking,
it was all great.
They call it a wedding breakfast. It ain't breakfast. It's fucking lunchtime and it's late at that. Don't call it wedding breakfast. Call it a late lunch.
It's a traditional ceremony. It doesn't need to make sense. It just has to be nice and special.
But where does
married.
This tradition come from?
I'll tell you where. It's like 100 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's evolved a lot as well to fit with the multi-billion dollar industry behind it as well, right? So like,
oh,
there's
huge.
a lot of fucking extras that get thrown into the mix so that they can, you know, just milk you for more money. You know, you can't just get a dress now. You have to have like a fucking dress stand humidifier thing for the dress
all
to
the
be
bridesmaids have to have a dress, all the grooms have to have a dress and a fucking suit, whatever.
Yeah, and then you have to have like fucking little boxes with people's names on them with like one chocolate inside, which
that's
and,
right
and
we had
shit.
That
and there's a whole bunch of shit, like it costs fucking thousands and thousands of dollars to have a
I love weddings, but one time I would like the vows to be that they walk down the aisle together and the vicar or whatever just nods at them and they just fucking high five and they peace.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. Let's
they
go.
Just
get on with
they
it.
Just get to the thing and they're just like, all right, let's do this.
And they just walk out.
Yeah. And then they just high five, bam, and let's go.
Pokemon music starts playing and everybody cheers and then done. You're out.
Well, I like, there's a lot of things I like about it. Now, first of all, I like that it brings everyone together, family and friends for a meeting. It's a good excuse to get everyone together and just see the family and, you know, just renew like the kind of ties that you have with your friends and family and say, look, you know, these are all the people in my life. Thank you for being in my life. And like, you know, this is how much you mean to me. I don't know, like, it's good to have an excuse to have a social gathering these days where everyone's there and they dress up nice and they go to someone, have a nice meal. And it's all very friendly and loving and really just wholesome. And it was just, there were so many good things about it, right? I didn't find it boring. It wasn't like too slow or anything. Yeah. Like sometimes I've been to weddings that just go on for fucking all day and you're waiting around.
You've got like
so
a huge smile on your face all day long and you're just thinking,
I brought a
this
book
is
with
the-
me in case I needed
you
it.
Didn't.
Well,
you
I've been
didn't.
To quite a few weddings
what
and
are
I've
you,
been 12 sat
years
there.
Old.
Lewis
just
is
fucking
that guy.
Put
yeah.
up with it. If it's a bit boring, you just do what all grown-ups do and just smile
his
and think of something else.
He's listening
what
to
do you mean? Book. Like just smile and think of something else? What, like just stand there Homer Simpson style and listen to the music playing in my head?
What, you don't have an imagination? You're telling me you can't just daydream about something else if you're super bored? I'm just sitting there, I'm just thinking of something else if I need to. Just go into your brain.
I didn't need the book.
Use it.
In the end, but I took it with me just in case because I didn't know what to expect.
That's such a kid thing to do. That's the kind of thing my 10-year-old ask and I'd say, no, you can't take a book to the wedding. And you
just
like,
be
take
bored
a book.
Like everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's their special day. You're there to be bored.
Listen, we're
for
here
them.
To embrace it. Their life flames touching. Okay?
Exactly. We're not going to read it. I can just imagine they gave you a front seat in the front row and the wedding's going on. You just suddenly sneak a book out of your inside pocket just having a peek. What would the book be? Like Dragons of Autumn Twilight or something like that.
Well, it's actually All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, nice. What a fucking fantastic read.
It's one of the most depressing fucking books
we're
of all time.
We're celebrating a very happy day. Excuse me, sir. Is that a copy of All Quiet on the... Get the fuck out of here with that depressing ass shit. We're trying to have a nice time here.
But I didn't need it, fortunately. Well, I was a bit worried because I didn't know a lot of people there.
Right.
And so I was worried that I would be kind of stuck on my own, kind of without anyone to talk to.
You know, the
anything.
Best way to be stuck on your own, not talking to anyone. The best way to be stuck on your own is to go and sit in the corner and read a fucking book at a wedding. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Well, I didn't need to. I just was concerned. Sometimes I get a bit anxious in social situations.
You're right, I shouldn't judge your social anxiety. It's easy to be, because I think everybody gets the impression.
Do not, Lewis, no, you liar.
Everybody gets the impression from Lewis and people on the internet that they're, you know, big, confident people in all situations.
Well, here's the thing.
But it's different in real life. It's different in real life.
So I haven't really talked about this, but when we did the karaoke stream this Christmas, I was getting really nervous about it. And I was starting to feel like I was getting a little bit of a quickened heartbeat and also slight shortness of breath. And I realized I was kind of having
an anxiety attack
about it. Okay. That is the same feeling actually. Yeah. When I get both, but I was having a bit of an anxiety attack. And so I had to take the evening off and it's the first time it's not the first time I guess it's happened to me in my life, but it's certainly the first time I noticed that that was probably what it was.
Do you know what I think that was, though, is I know how hard you guys work, especially in the month leading up to the jam. And I think that there was probably a combination of having to perform, you know, people are going to be watching, there's all these other people. You obviously don't sing karaoke very often. I spend the whole year singing to myself anyway. So when it's karaoke time, I'm just like, cool, now I get to sing and there's a microphone. That's it. So these are all songs I've been singing to myself all fucking year. Because I literally, my kids do the same thing. Like anytime they're in the toilet, they're singing, they're in their room, they're singing. I sing all the fucking time. I don't know why. It's just a habit I've got. So for me, but I just turn up. There's no planning for me for the Jingle Jam. You've spent a whole month working on it. So of course you're stressed and in the back of your mind, everything's got to work out and there's a lot of pressure and everything like that. So don't think that it's a thing. It's just natural. It's natural.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to analyze it because that's the kind of person I am who kind of can't stop thinking about something in circles until it consumes me and my life flame just sputters and, you know.
Did you consult Reddit almost straight away to see if there was any way?
I didn't. I haven't really talked about it.
/AskReddit.
Yeah. I should have done, maybe, because that's the good way to just get a load of uninformed assholes telling you bollocks.
I was just about to do a karaoke live stream in front of 50,000 people and my heart fluttered a bit. What could be the problem, Reddit?
Well, it was more that, I don't know, I was trying to think about it and I've never really, I don't know, singing in front of people in karaoke is a very extroverted thing to do. And I can usually do it with a couple of drinks and not have too many problems.
It's a great summary of social interactions right there. No, it is, though. I mean, most people rely on alcohol to socialize.
My parents made me sing up on stage quite often. Like, my parents, for some reason, encouraged me when I was a kid, to sing on stage. Now, they didn't, I don't think they ever really, forced me to do it. And they didn't film it and put it on the internet for money.
Did you guys have to do public speaking at school, too? Like, you had to research a topic or something and do a speech on it? Did you guys have to do that?
Never really had to do that.
I did. I did at university as well, and it was the worst thing. I used to sweat.
Oh, I know. That was always the worst.
I would sweat. My heart would go. My palms would be sweaty. I stumbled over my words. I hated it.
They did it to give you the experience doing it, right?
It didn't work.
They know that you're going to be uncomfortable and sweaty and anxious and stuff like that, but
different. It was different. We've gone up on stage before at places Insomnia and done these things, and I've usually I'm usually always going to, before I go on stage anyway, even if it's to couple of hundred people, I'm going to be fucking super anxious, super nervous. Like, even standing in the office and someone says, oh, Lewis has got a few words to say. And suddenly, the poor best man, at the wedding, that's a classic area where the anxiety is overwhelming for that, it's terrifying.
Well, at a wedding,
even
it's different because you've had drinks by the time the speeches start too, right?
Maybe. So and sometimes I don't feel a thing, but sometimes, most times going up on stage, even if it's to less people than a routine live stream, where I don't feel anything, any anxiety at all. I think it is a matter of just getting used to it, but I don't know. I certainly couldn't get used to karaoke.
Well, imagine how it feels to be the spokesperson for a company who's just announced that they've laid off everybody right before Christmas or whatever. You know what I mean? imagine having to make that speech. That would fucking suck. At least.
But I also to have to fire people, even one-on-one. Oh God.
Yeah,
you know,
would be tough.
That's a horrible thing to do, isn't it?
I'd do it by telegram. Singing same. Telegram.
That's why That's why they have so many different levels of management in companies.
I'm sorry to inform you, sir, that you are no longer needed.
Yeah, it's much easier.
The company's not doing as well as it used to.
And you are the least important person left. Sign here, please. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Speak I remember at school I did public speaking and I felt you know, like Eminem from 8 Mile, you know, with the sweaty palms and the sweaty hoodie and stuff like that. But when you're a kid, you like, you know, that your image and stuff really matters to you, right? Like the way that people like think about you and stuff is like is much more important. But now, like, I don't feel like as nervous like in front of people or anything now that I'm a like an older guy with kids and stuff. I just think,
do you think part of the difference is that in school you know that if you fuck up, you're stuck with these people for the next 4 years.
That's
like,
true.
You're gonna have to put up with that shit every fucking day. You might sit next to that kid, the twat, who's gonna remind you every time he sees you about something you said or did. That's cool. Yeah. Whereas in your grown up, people are like, fuck this guy, I never have to talk to him again. Who cares? And I mean, when I first started off, I'm sure you guys felt the same thing. Not so much streaming, because that always felt I could just turn it off. And yeah, if I said something stupid, that's fine, but I could just turn the stream off, whatever. And it was being in front of a group of people, like going onto a stage. There's something about stepping up, being on that platform. Everyone's looking at you and you can see all of them and they're expecting you to deliver something. And they can't just change a channel. They're fucking stuck there too, which makes it even worse. If it's boring on Twitch, they'll just watch something else. But you don't, I mean, people generally feel a compulsion to stay where they are when you're on stage. They're like, well, looks like we're stuck here to see what this shit is all about. So you feel like you owe them something as well. I think it's even the level of failure is worse when you're on a stage. I used to hate it, and now you just get used to it. But
I think also
the idea of doing this 20 years ago would have scared the shit out of me.
Like I also think it is like you said, like about like the audience. So I mean, if it's your usual live stream audience, you almost certainly know that all of them know what they're getting themselves into. Yeah. Whereas like a live sort of thing, it's like, are these, especially if those people are, don't even know who you are, and the pressure is on, and you're like, okay, well, I guess we're just gonna go for this, and you know, they're gonna be reading their book in the audience because they're bored. Yeah, I don't know.
All Quiet on the Western Front, though. Jesus.
Well, it's a pretty, I've nearly done. I got through a lot of it.
Good for you.
Recommend it if you want to just feel fucking
ruin someone's super, wedding. That's great.
Super depressed. I didn't need it. It was great. But, you know, I've been to enough weddings. I know what it's like. I've been to tons. And honestly, I'm not a fan normally. Like, but this wedding turned me around a bit because they streamlined a lot of the boring shit. They'd obviously had someone who'd gone in and been to a lot and been like, yeah, these bits don't work. Like chucking the bouquet and stuff over the shoulder, kind of like the stereotype stuff, was not made a big deal out of, and all that. You know, all the cliches were kind of stripped down a little bit. But
and that's
another great thing
about having kids, though, because like you can get invited to like weddings and stuff and you always have an excuse for not going. Like,
I see.
You could, you know, like I haven't been
to
a wedding.
That's a kind
of
wholesome way to use your kids that doesn't feel massively exploited.
Exactly.
If you're gonna
exploit your kids in any way, use them to get out of stuff that you don't want to do. Like, don't fucking put them in front of a camera and create more stuff for you to do. You gotta be smart about this. You gotta
use
cut things out
sparingly.
Of your life.
Yeah,
exactly.
I did some more cooking with the school this week, where I went in and cooked with the kids.
Meth.
It was fun. We did cheesy scones. They liked it.
You did some more. So was this okay? So I'm wondering how many recipes you're gonna have, because the pizza obviously went down incredibly well.
Big hit.
And
went into a school and cooked food for children
with children.
You've already done this. Yeah, yeah. You did it before.
But were you like in a like, you know, like showing them how to cook it, or were you just there to like cook with your kids?
Every week they have the cooking, and two parents will come in, volunteer to come in, and you go and collect six kids at a time from the class, two groups of six. Take them to the little school kitchen, cook with them, tell them what you're going to cook. You ask them questions. Now, remember, how much flour did we put in? And they'll say, oh, 80 grams, you know, stuff like that. So you do the whole thing, and then you cook it, and then you take what you've cooked to the classroom. And when the day is finished, they hand out whatever's been cooked to all the kids in the class. So they get a little treat on their way home from school. They love it. It's great fun. And, you know, you get to see all the kids that are in my youngest class. She talks about them all the time. I get to hang out. I know some of them. I get to hang out and get to know the kids and everything. It's very sweet. You know, it's very, very, very wholesome. But you're right. We did cheesy pizza. This time we did cheesy scones, which are like scones, you know, they rise up and they're kind of cheesy. So I mean, because the teacher doesn't like us to make sweet stuff. She wants it to be like savory stuff. because right. somehow that's better for them, even though it's just fucking flour and butter and cheese, but whatever. So I'm going to come up with another going to come up with another recipe for next time, because I know they're going to ask me to come back, because they call me Chef Ted now. Like, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Today, my kids, we're going to be making double cheeseburgers with bacon.
Oh, man, the dream.
It's gonna get worse and worse. Today, kids, we're going to be making ice cream sundaes.
Yeah. Ideally, like, the meat should still be bloody, kids, all right? I want to see blood in that bun. Nice rare meat and nice rich cheese on top. Oh, lovely, lovely.
Today, kids, we're going to be making chicken nuggets.
Chicken Twizzlers.
I bought a box of frozen
Twizzlers.
Chicken nuggets, and we're going to be cooking them in the oven.
It's funny. Some of the kids, though, obviously don't know. Like, they obviously haven't cooked much at home. And I think it's a shame. Like, some of the kids, you know, they've never done anything with a rolling pin at all. And you think, how can you, you know, you gotta get them in the kitchen. That's super important.
I feel like
important.
The only people using rolling pins are kids and, like, grands, you know, who bake for the local church bake sale.
That's well.
Who else uses a rolling pin, honestly? Like,
Chef Ted does.
I mean, Chef Ted. Holy crap! Do you have like a penny and stuff? Do they like?
Yeah,
the kids do they call you chef like on TV?
I was gonna push it and say, kids, you have to chef? Call me chef. Yes, chef. I don't want to have a yes, chef when I ask you to do something. Cut that butter up into chunks. Yes, chef. I want that.
Just don't respond until they call you chef, though. Like, Ted. You just ignore them and then, chef. Yes, Jimmy?
Yes.
What can I?
I'll give him a real Gordon Ramsay style bollocking. I'll put a piece of bread either side of their head. What are you? An idiot sandwich. You know, right, back to class.
Did you get anyone get any injuries? Did anyone get any burns?
No,
like,
no. We're very careful with all that. So
like
the oven is out of
bounds.
It's butter knives. Okay. I mean, it's butter knives. And they generally do the mixing and the rolling and the all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever it is. Generally dough-based.
I genuinely can't do any cooking without cutting myself or injuring myself
somehow.
It's just
practice.
Or burning
I used to
myself
cut myself
slightly.
A lot. It's just practice.
Are you guys good at slicing up stuff, like,
real man.
Quick?
I'm so good at cutting onions. You wouldn't believe it.
Really?
So good at cutting onions.
Diced onions.
Sliced onions. Super diced onions. And I'm like, like that.
Wow.
Like, I cook every day.
I'm not at that point.
Oh, you'll get there. It's just, but like Lewis said, I used to cut my fingers. I'd be like, ah! And Mrs. F would be like, what happened? And there'd be like a huge gouge in my hand. but yeah, once you've done that a few times, you just get your technique down. You got to sort of hold it like a claw hand, and the knife should be very slightly angled away from your finger. But you can use your nail as a kind of the point to bounce the knife off, so you know exactly where the sharp edge is. There's all kinds of techniques. And chopping carrots, I love it. I actually enjoy that part most because I get to think I'm a real chef. Chef Ted.
I feel like a lot of this shit could be replaced by machines now.
Yeah, but then you've got to clean the machine. That's the problem. Washing the machine is more of a pain in the ass than doing it yourself. And then just, you know, acquiring a skill.
I don't know. Like, maybe you're right. Also, carrots. Fucking hate carrots.
What?
Jesus Christ.
What?
They suck. They are the fucking
God.
Worst vegetable.
What is wrong with this guy?
What are
I
you
know.
Talking about?
What
man?
Is wrong
carrots
with me?
Carrots are super good.
They're not. They're crap.
It's a
they
bombshell
suck.
Revelation.
Worst vegetable.
The worst vegetable.
Worst vegetable,
I think that the worst vegetable has got to be either leeks. Leeks are pretty fucking gross. Or I don't like fucking I don't like courgettes either. Like, I find them kind of gross too.
I like courgettes when they've been fried enough. Like, I don't like them.
I
that kind of limp
they
boiled.
Like, I don't mind it if they're like sliced up small and like put into like a pasta sauce or something like that. Then they're fine. But
that's
just
not
like,
how I like them at all.
Just
when they're mushy.
Best vegetables are obviously like sweet corn is up there. That's a good one.
Oh, only on a cob. It's got to be on a cob. Otherwise, I'm not touching
cob.
It. If it's been decobbed,
it's
got to
be on corn on the cob.
I don't mind corn cob.
But corn off the cob
actually.
Is still on the top ten list.
It's
good.
Devil.
And then peas are great.
Love a pea.
Always love peas.
Love a pea.
Can't complain. Mushy peas, like, they're down the list again.
That's Mrs. F's favorite.
I think butternut squash is pretty gross, too. It just doesn't taste like anything.
Are you
butternut
me?
Squash.
That's like a top vegetable.
It's a good vegetable.
I think sweet potato, like, I would rather eat.
All right, let me hit you
something.
With a few. Let me hit you with a few. Artichoke.
No, thanks.
Sure.
Amazing. They're amazing, right? Asparagus.
Oh, fantastic. Love asparagus, but not too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of making my pee smell bad.
All right, this one might be a divider here. Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
I can take them. A couple.
I like them.
Couple.
I like them.
A couple.
With gravy. There's got to be gravy in there.
Yeah, you have
to have
gravy.
Yeah, you have to unhealthy the Brussels sprouts by putting them and cooking them
in
honey or something.
Cabbage.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I can take a bit
oh,
of cabbage.
Oh man, I love cabbage.
I can take kimchi, but I can't take cabbage.
Sorry, cauliflower, specifically cauliflower cheese.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh, fuck yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like cauliflower that's like curried. Curry sauce.
By the truckload. Yeah,
yeah.
Bit,
cauliflower
not too,
is not too
nice.
Soft and like
yeah.
Mushy.
Oh man,
yeah.
Just right. All right. Yeah. Fennel.
Fennel? No, it's just it's awful.
Not a fan of fennel, really.
Why would you have that? It just tastes so like weird.
Onion.
Don't like it.
Onion. Yeah.
Number one
it's
vegetable.
Numero uno.
It's so good.
It's the most versatile. I use onions every day. Fucking love onions.
Yeah. Onions. Yeah.
Honestly, if I could, I would put the word onion in my middle name. Yeah. I want it in there just as a tribute because I fucking love onions. I think they're amazing.
Onions are great. Ted Onion Forsyth.
Yeah. I want to be
like,
known as
like
onion.
Like spring
man.
Onions are great. Like crispy onions on top of stuff. Yeah. Oh, onion rings.
And
I mean,
the
so
onion's
much.
Little brother, the shallot, also deserves a shout out. And they're even younger, like, possibly not related brother, garlic. I love all three. Love all three.
Garlic's
what
fantastic.
What about broccoli? Broccoli's pretty good. I like broccoli.
Broccoli's
I can't
pretty
eat
good.
Broccoli. Can't
green
eat broccoli.
Green beans. Really? Really nice.
I like
peas?
Green buns.
Peas
love
are
peas.
Good.
What about the freakish half cousin of the onion, the spring onion?
Well, it's fine. They're good.
I can take a spring
big
onion.
You can't
yeah,
eat them
fan.
Raw. Like, you can't chow down
no,
on them.
What about beetroot?
No, hate beetroot. Oh, my God.
Beetroot
so
is
nice.
Actually fucking awful. I mean, I can eat it, like, if it's vinegared, like in those jars
oh,
or whatever.
Oh, yeah. God,
that's
like the
worst. In a salad or something. Like,
oh,
you have to
God.
Have it with stuff. But
all right, here's a weird one. Here's a weird one.
Radish.
Swede.
No,
like
radish
sweet.
Is a no-go for me.
Radish is
radish.
Amazing. I love radish.
They're good.
But
they're
what about
peppery.
Swede? Mashed
they're
Swede. Good. You ever had mashed Swede?
Swede is rutabaga. Yeah, it's awful.
It's amazing.
It's like,
what's
like
wrong
nearly
with
as
you?
Bad as turnip.
Yeah, that's with a lot of root vegetables, you really got to spice them up, like, or they're just so
like
parsnips. Fucking boring.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, fucking God. Awful.
Excuse me?
Yeah, turnips.
Parsnips. They just have this awful taste.
Yeah,
they
taste
really
like
are
parsnips.
Gross.
They taste amazing.
You got to butter them up, like, to death and stuff.
You guys are crazy.
You got to, like, have them, like, deep fried and dripping in
no,
like maple syrup in order
parsnip.
To even be vaguely edible.
A
and at that point, you're just eating
so
a deep fried stick of sugar.
Oh, you're crazy. Okra.
Oh, yeah, I will eat okra, sure. But I think it makes me like get heartburn.
Okay.
Right. Does that what broccoli does to you?
No, it gives me the shits.
Okay.
Whoa, no, broccoli actually like loosens
for real.
Up your,
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Coffee,
God, that's crazy.
Broccoli and rich cheese. Those are the three things.
What about celery? Celery's fucking weird, isn't it?
I don't mind celery. I put it in my bolognese, like as part of the sofrito, like onions, carrots, celery, mix it all up. Real fine. Like, you don't want any stringy bits. It's got
to
be in there.
We used to have a snack as a kid called Ants on a Log, which was celery cut into like a small sort of like chunk of celery. And then inside like the groove bit, you'd spread some like cheese whiz. You
oh,
know,
wow.
Like spreadable cheese, and then you put little raisins on it, and
oh my
it
God,
sounds fucking
awful.
Gross, but man, it was so good. Like you got a bit of cheese, you got a bit of
ants
celery.
Ants on a log.
Ants on a log. That is an amazing name for a snack.
Celery with cheese
ants
whiz and raisins. That sounds awful.
It sounds terrible.
It sounds fucking terrible, but it's pretty good. Trust
ants
me.
Ants
like,
on a log.
Nice.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay, that's homework for everyone.
Yeah.
If you can,
I used to put peanut butter in the groove. That's really good as well.
I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna get some fucking
cheese whiz in there. Yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
Yeah.
Ants on a log. I would rather eat actual ants.
Oh,
no,
celery.
Honestly,
with some raisins, because you get like a bit of sweet, like the raisins and the celery go really well together, and then you got the cheese to just tone down the sweetness. Oh, it's fucking really good, actually. It's nice.
I think sometimes kids like want to eat that. You should do that for cooking at school.
Ants on a log at school next time.
No,
class.
Thanks.
That'll go down great. Holy shit. I mean, you're right about taking a shit. Like, I had a coffee about an hour ago, and I really need a shit now.
It goes
so.
Right through your
shit out of
bad.
His ass. Yeah,
it
yeah.
does. It definitely like triggers it. Like, if I need to, if I'm like, okay, I need to go in an hour's time. Let's have a coffee now, and then I can like time it perfectly.
That really like instantly gives me the shit. Like, so what are you saying? So you eat broccoli, and then you know, like within
no,
an
I
hour.
No, I get
or
like
so.
I get really bad stomach cramps.
So like
it's
IBS
the same with the cheese. It's
of.
Like agony. It's like actual agony. It's like someone's stabbing me in the stomach. And then I have an unpleasant bowel movement. I'm sorry for these details, folks.
Do you get it with like kale and all the other stuff as well?
I haven't
very
tried
similar.
Because I avoid kale as if it was poison.
Have you tried pooping into a box and examining it, like just to make
no,
sure that your stools are healthy and stuff?
I haven't, like, but you're right. That sounds like such a fantastic
idea.
There
was that show on Channel 4 a couple years ago where they did that. Remember? They'd be like, "This man eats nothing but cheddar cheese and cheese and onion crisps, and now
Let's
we're going to make him shit in a box, and we're going to look at his poop." See just how unhealthy this man is. Yep, we can see from this man's poop that all he eats is cheddar cheese and cheese.
Haven't done it. But yeah, no. It's a possibility.
His life flame is really fucking in trouble.
It's dim.
It's basically a big shit.
It's very, very dim. It wouldn't even light up a small room at this point. This man needs to start eating some better shit. He's got to eat some parsnips.
We're done.
Lads, I think we've covered some important topics today. That was some good chat. That was more chat than larks.
It was a good one. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Man,
I got a bit angry at the start.
That's fine, Lewis. It's all right.
YouTube. Sorry, I got angry.
It's a safe place to do that. You know what I mean, Lewis? Let it out. That's what this is for.
I let some stuff out today.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like I'm better for having got it off my chest.
Now go have your poop.
All right, I will. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.